Evening. Appreciate that testimony. It's a good word. I think the Lord had that set up for you to talk about your testimony, your witness, because it kind of leads into my teachings this evening. So the Lord, He has a way of doing that sometimes. You know that? He just kind of blends everything together. And what you spoke about really ties into what I'd like to speak about tonight. Real quick, before we get started, two things. First of all, and you guys might have seen it on our Facebook page or on our address book page. You all get emails from us. But March the 19th, we're having that unplanned movie again, Saturday night, March the 19th. It's down at Rebecca's Gospel Barn, which is down on Lowell Road. If you're interested, how many of y'all were at the last one we had? We showed the movie Unplanned, and we also had pizza and all that. Okay, good, good. We're doing it again. So please, the invite's there. March the 19th, it's a Saturday night, it's at 5:45. I've got the flyer. If you want to see me afterwards or at church Sunday, let me know and I'll give you some more information. We only have 125 seats. That's all we have at Rebecca's Gospel Barn. And it's sponsored by us and also Holy Ground Baptist. And I think they've already got 60 or 70 tickets that they've used. So we're very limited for seating, but we'd like for you to come. Don't let that hold you back. It's a great movie. It's an interesting movie. Educational movie. I think you really enjoy it. And then secondly, congratulations to our Liberty Baptist Church youth group. There was a contest for the state of Georgia to put together a video about why you are pro-life. And it was a 3-minute video, and it was from all around the state. All different chapters presented their videos, and Liberty Baptist got chosen is one of the top 3 videos to go into this pro-life contest. So when you see Brother Adam and a group back there, let them know. Let them know you appreciate it. The judging will be next Monday or Tuesday. I'm not sure what night it's going to be. But they're one of 3 videos that will be for the state of Georgia's. This is a pro-life video. It's an interesting video. I'm going to try to somehow get it and put it online and you guys can see it. They did a really good job. In the back room of putting it together, a lot of work, a lot of effort. But it goes back to Brother Adam and Gayla and the Lord just using that group. Amen? Because that's what it's about. That's the church of the future as well as the church of the present. So I appreciate them putting the effort into it. Okay, so let's get started. We're in Hebrews. We're not in Philippians. Go figure that, huh? Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Verses 1 through 3. Again, thanks for coming out this evening. I appreciate the testimony already that we've heard this evening. And like I say, it really ties into the thoughts I'd like to use tonight. Hebrews chapter 1. And we're only going to be in 3 verses. That's it. So, but once we get into the first 3 verses, it may just skip around and move around a little bit as well. But Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Do me a favor first before we get started. Turn and look at one of your 2 of your neighbors and tell them faith is. Look around, turn to one of your neighbors and tell them faith is. Ready? Faith is. Because that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Faith is. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the words were framed by the word of God, so that things that which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Lord, again, tonight, we just take a moment. Lord, help us to be still, Selah. Help us just take some time to chew on your word tonight. Lord, give us a thought. Give us a message. Apply these words of faith in our life that will help us to draw closer to you, that we'll see you in a different way. We'll be different as before we came in here today. Use these words tonight. Be with Brother Ken as he's preaching. I pray right now as he breaks the bread of life that you'll use him to be a testimony, to be an encouragement, or maybe one that's unsaved to know Christ as Savior. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Faith is. Faith is. Faith is. If there's anything you're going to remember tonight, we said faith is 5 or 6 times, didn't we? But faith is. And that's what we're talking about. If you look up the word faith and define it, it can be said this. Complete trust or confidence in someone's abilities or word. And when I studied and read and looked at all different definitions through Webster, through several different dictionaries, the word complete was always in each and every one of them. It's very rare that you ever find a definition of something and they almost marry each other. But in this one right here, the word complete was in each and every one of those definitions of what faith is. Complete trust or confidence in someone's ability or word. Another way that it said was complete trust in the performance of a thing. So, for instance, this evening, let me give you an illustration. So this evening, we had faith that when we got in our automobiles and our cars and our trucks, that we were going to either push the button or put the key in and the car was going to start. Right? That's faith. Faith is. We had faith that coming down 166 from Carrollton, I had faith that as I was going westbound, each one of those cars that were going eastbound on 166, I had faith that they would not cross that center line and come into my lane. I had faith tonight that knowing that church would start at 7:30 and not 7 o'clock. I had faith because we have a history of starting at 7:30. We have faith in Brother Mike saying that church will start at 7:30. We have faith that Brother Ken didn't change it to 7 o'clock. I had faith that somebody was going to be here before we got here this evening. I had faith that someone's going to turn the lights on. I had faith that the heater or the air conditioner would be turned on. I had faith that somebody was going to be here to get us prepared to come to worship tonight. The lights would be on. The heat of the air would be on. But what about biblical faith that we find in Hebrews? I don't know if you write in your Bible. I do. I've started it probably since the early days when I got saved. Of just putting little notes next to different verses or scriptures. And in Hebrews, underneath my Bible here, or in my Bible here underneath Hebrews, 32 different times we see the word faith is mentioned in the book of Hebrews. But 24 times the word of faith is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. 24 different times. So that's the reason why they call the book of Hebrews the faith book. That's the reason why they call Hebrews chapter 11 the faith chapter. Being the faith chapter, it's defined, it has a lot of different meanings and purposes. Hebrews chapter 11 has a lot of meanings and different purposes all throughout it. Hebrews chapter 11 defines our faith. It tells us what our faith is. It has illustrations of talking about what is faith. Faith is. Faith is. Faith is. It defines it. It highlights it. It illustrates it. It shows a lot of different ways that we can use our faith through His people. Through the people, as you go through it, we won't have time to go through it. We're not going to. But if you look at all the listing of people that are in the book of Hebrews, we see all of these individuals and it talks about how their faith changed their walk. And you see it in Hebrews chapter 11. It directs us. It gives us some commandments. But it also says, walk by faith. Faith is. Scripture teaches us that faith is the foundational support mechanism for successful living, successful Christian living. That's our mechanism that helps us, guys and gals, in our walk to be able to have a successful Christian walk by faith is. You cannot become a Christian without saving faith. Remember the definition I gave you. Remember the definition? I said that, remember the definition of faith? It's complete trust or confidence in someone's ability or word. You cannot become a Christian without saving faith. How do I know that? The scripture tells us. 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life, but he that hath not the Son hath not life. Scripture, by faith, teaches us that without faith it is impossible to please Him. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave us His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we believe that by faith. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. It is not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What's the word? For by grace are ye saved. What? What? Through faith. Faith is. You get where I'm going? Faith is the common denominator for us to have successful Christian living in our lives. So first of all, we cannot please God without faith. First, we saw a Christian without faith. You can't be a Christian without saving faith. Secondly, we cannot please Christ without having faith. Romans 5 and 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we cannot please Christ without having faith. You've seen the line before. I've even mentioned it probably in some of my teachings before. No God, the letter N-O, no God, no peace. The same word, no, K-N-O-W, no God, no peace. You can't have peace without the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. And you can't have Jesus Christ in your life without having the saving faith of Jesus Christ. We cannot live as a Christian without preserving faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. So every part, every facet of a human being's life has three different parts. First of all, it's salvation through Christ, it's acceptance by Christ, and growth by Christ. And so we see faith is the common denominator for all of that. So let me illustrate for you how faith can work in our lives. Let me illustrate to you how faith can work in an unsaved person's life. Because they have faith as well. You know, just because you're saved and you believe in Jesus Christ, that's a saving faith. But those that have never accepted Christ have faith, but in different things, in different areas, in different arenas, in different beliefs. But they have faith. Unfortunately, they have the wrong faith. Amen. There was a man standing outside of his house during a heavy storm. And all of a sudden, the wind started blowing. Some of us that are older can appreciate this more than some of you younger guys and gals. But there was a man who was outside, standing outside of his house, and he wanted to fix the antenna on his roof. The wind had been blowing, and some of us can remember doing this as younger kids. The wind was blowing, the antenna was going back and forth, and it came off as his clamp. So he took his ladder, he put it up on the side of the house, he climbed up the ladder, and he started adjusting his antenna. How many of y'all remember doing that as younger kids, huh? Some of us that aren't as old as you are, or as mature as you are, we remember our parents going over to those rabbit ears on our television. You remember that? You turn them one way to get a signal, you turn them that way. How many of y'all ever had those things that you can turn the dial? And it was kind of cool because you watched the rabbit ears go, and it was hitting a clear signal to go back and forth. Well, this guy was on top of his roof, and he was fixing his antenna, and he was setting it up there and turning it, and all of a sudden it was really an angled roof. And as he started to come down, he started sliding down his roof. And you could just almost visually see him going bounce, 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 trying to grab something before he fell. And it's just before he comes off the roof, he grabs onto the side gutter and the support, and he's holding on. He doesn't know what to do because here he is two stories up above the ground holding on to this support gutter and the side of his roof, and he yells down, "Hey, is there anybody down there that can help me? Hey!" Quiet. Silence. Finally looks up to heaven and says, "Hey, is there anybody up there that can help me? Please help me get down." A voice from heaven comes out and says, "Let go. Trust. Just believe. Just believe. Let go." "Hey, you up there. Is there anybody else up there that can help me? I know that's funny, but think about it. That's exactly what faith is. So many people are looking for other areas in their life to try to find this way to get to heaven. If it's by studying, by being a member of a church, by giving to the church, whatever that can be, they have these different routes of faith that they go to. But the Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 ways. 6 times it says singular. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. John 14:6 says. It's singular. There's only one way to get in. And that entry name for the Christian faith is the followers of Jesus Christ. Jamie gave me a good lead into the message tonight when he was talking about fear last week. He talked about the different faces of fear. And as he was teaching last week, I was writing down some notes because I had already kind of laid some groundwork for this teaching tonight. But fear has a lot of many different faces. Financially, we have challenges. We get ridiculed at work. That brings on fear. We have failures at work. That brings on fear. Responsibilities. That brings on a whole different type of fear in our lives. Sickness, health, death. There's so many different faces that fear brings to us. But can our fear or will our fear overcome our... Well, will our faith or will our faith overcome our fear? Here's what somebody said about faith and fear. Faith is doing whatever that is when we're afraid. Think about it. Faith is doing whatever that is when we're afraid. That's when faith kicks in. It's easy to have faith when everything's going well, isn't it? But it's really hard to find that faith when you're ridiculed, when you're going through sickness, when you're going through health, when you're going through different circumstances in your life. Faith is not the absence of fear, but rather the ability to face and overcome fear in our lives. We will all face fear. This morning when I was in my study, I've been having a tough time sleeping at night, a lot going on at work. Right to Life have been real busy lately, and so it seems like I'm always up early in the morning, like 1 or 2 o'clock. I roll back over, go to sleep, and then I'm up at 4 o'clock. I guess it's an old man thing going on. But when I got up, I went to my study and I opened up my laptop. When I opened up my laptop, I had my notes written out. But on my screen, on my laptop, there's always a picture of something different. And this morning when I opened up, there was this lighthouse. It was a picture of a lighthouse and it was a picture of a mist coming behind it. And there was a ship coming through like an inlet in front of this lighthouse. And as I was looking at it, I looked at it twice and said, okay, there's got to be a meaning behind that. And I wrote down some notes. I said, faith is the lighthouse in the storm that directs us to safe passage through that storm. Think about it. When I saw that boat there, and it was a sailboat, and I said, okay, it's not in a storm, but that's exactly what that lighthouse does. When it's foggy, when there's danger, when there's no direction in our lives, which way to go, what does that lighthouse do? It says, look, caution, be aware, danger, stay away in our lives. When there's fog all around us, when that fear that Jamie preached about last week comes around us and we're ridiculed and we're tormented and there's health issues and there's challenges and financially, how can I afford paying $5 for diesel gas? How am I going to make it? Yada, yada, yada. All these things surround us. Here's that Spirit of God that says, trust, trust, stay close to me. I'm going to get you through this. Don't look at the storm. Look at me. Focus on me. That's how you're going to get over that fear in our lives. Amen? It's not anything that we can do. It's all about Him getting us through those times. Just like that lighthouse is calling out to those ships, the Spirit of God speaks to us. Look at Psalms 46. Look at Psalms 46, 1 through 3. And I promise you, I'll try not to be too long. I want to get some of this stuff out. We still got time. Psalms 46, 1 through 3. We're talking about faith is, faith is. We're talking about overcoming our fears. We're talking about faith is not the absence of fear, but rather the ability to face and overcome fears. 46, the book of Psalms, verses 1 through 3. You there? Say amen. 46, 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not we fear. Therefore, will not we fear, though earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. I'm probably only get to one or two verses. What we're talking about here is a refuge, a place to go to when those storms start mounting in our lives. 46 and 1, our refuge. What is a refuge? A rock, a stronghold. It talks about being a fortress. It talks about being placed on a high tower overseeing the battle. It talks about a shelter. God is our shelter. God is our rock. God is our fortress. God is the one that places up on top of this fortress and protects us during a time of trials, during a time of issues in our lives. The word shelter. When Glenn Burns comes on the television station at night and there's bad storms over Birmingham and they start coming through eastern part of Alabama and all of a sudden we're in that yellow box and all of a sudden they come on and you hear that little beeping sound on WSB or your app goes off on your phone and all of a sudden it goes from a tornado watch to a tornado warning, what does Glenn Burns say to us? Go to your shelter place in your house. Go to that shelter place that you've designated in a time of storm. When it uses the word shelter here, it's talking about it's a temporal position. Once that tornado goes by, and Glenn Burns says it's safe now, that's already passed us in Carrollton, it's going to Villarica and Lithia Springs, you come out of that shelter place back to your abode, to your home. What he's talking about here in chapter 46, verse number 1, he says it's just a temporal place to be at. God says, look, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to give you a shelter place during those times of storms, but don't get to the point where you're relying on that shelter place all the time. Come out. Come out from that area. I'm going to give you some passageway, but don't get ourselves locked into a place that we're always being pampered and not just protected. 46 and 1 says our strength. It's an ability beyond our means or even beyond human understanding. Our strength is our ability beyond our means. When we can't even figure out what happened. When all of a sudden we look back and say, how in the world did I get through that situation in my life? Financially, I looked at my checkbook. I had this amount of money. I had this amount of bills. I had another one in the mailbox. All of a sudden I got a phone call that says this payment's overdue and I look at this check, this balance of my checking account and says there is no way that this is going to take care of this. But you look back through it and you say, you know what, it was all about Him that brought me from there to here. When things go past our understanding, and that's what that word talks about, our strength. I won't let you turn there, but Philippians chapter 4 and 7 says this, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let me read it again. I think somebody's going through a challenge in their life tonight. This might help you to get through that challenge. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding. When you can't figure it out, when it's beyond your comprehension, and you say, you know what, I just don't see a way out of it. He says, it passes all understanding, shall keep. Shall keep. The word shall key is this. It's a garrison. It's a garrison. It's a strategy. It's a group that's protecting you and circling around you. And you see the things that Ukraine going on. And you see how they're trying to encompass the city. Okay? They're trying to encompass the city. It says here that there's a garrison around Kyiv right now. Kyiv. There's a garrison around them that's trying to protect the city. That's exactly what happens in our lives. God says, don't worry about it. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to give you strength to get through what you're doing. It's not my strength, it's our strength is what he's talking about. 46:1. Very present help in the time of trouble. You know, look at there. It doesn't say just the present help in Psalms 46:1. It says the very present help in a time of trouble. It's available, but must be approached and requested. You know, that it's there for us. That help is there for us, but we've got to ask for it. We've got to say, Lord, help me. I can't figure this thing out. You've already brought me through situations and trials before, but I'm trusting you to get me through this time in my life. 46, indeed, the earth was moved. The mountains were carried. The waters were raging. It gives an illustration of Jordan overflowing the banks. 46:3 says, Selah. We've talked about that before. Selah. The orchestra's playing. The band is playing. The individual is singing. They read the oracles. They stop. They listen. They meditate. And then they go on. That's exactly what he's telling us to do. When we get through those situations, the Lord brings us through. He says, stop, pause, go back to what you heard. 46:10, be still and know. Let me read it. 46:10, I had it in my notes. Let me go back and read, see what it said. 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The word be still and know means wake up. It's as if I'm taking somebody who's standing there and I shake them and I shake them and I say, wake up, listen, it's important. You're scared, but don't be scared. Look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. It talks about it being speaking of oneself to the senses. And that's what 46:10 says. Be still. Don't panic. Recognize. Recognize. 1 Peter 5:7. The only way we can get this, if we cast our cares upon Him because He cares for you. That's what 46:10 talks about. 46:10 talks about there. It says that, look it, I've given you the power to overcome, but you've got to request it of me. You've got to ask it of me. 1 Peter 5:7. Cast your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Watch what God will do. So, that was my introduction. We're in trouble. Now I know we're in trouble if that was the introduction. So, Hebrews 11:1. Why is it important to understand the background of this chapter? You know, when you study your Bible, there's a lot of books that they pretty much know who wrote that book, who the author of that book was based upon some of the terminology in the book, some of the writings of the book, some of the studies of the book. The book of Hebrews, I don't think there's one commentator that agrees with another commentator of who the writer of the book of Hebrews was. I believe myself, not that it really matters, but I believe that Paul could have been the writer of the book of Hebrews because the way the book of Hebrews is written is very similar to the book of Philippians that we've studied upon. It was being taught and preached to a waning religious believers. Their faith had been torn. They were needing some encouragement. And so that's what the book of Hebrews does. It's because of their faith, they needed some encouragement. And we see that despite this persecution that was going on and they were facing, Hebrews brings out the reason of faith. Faith is 32 different times. So look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Let's go back and look at it. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is. Let me just hit those two words real quick. Oh, yeah, we're good. It's only 7:22 in Alabama, so we got plenty of time. Faith is. Faith is. Faith is. Faith is singular. That's what it's talking about. It's talking about a singular faith. Not a lot of different faiths, but faith is singular. There's only one faith. Faith is the finished work of Christ for the forgiveness of sins and salvation. Faith in His Word, that He will not leave us or forsake us. Substance. Faith is the substance. So what is substance? That which is used to support something else, to give strength. I'm not a builder. I'm not a contractor. I can screw in a light bulb and every now and then hit a nail on the head with a hammer. And that's about the extent of my construction work. But I do know that there's underneath this floor right here, underneath this area here, there's something called a subfloor. And that's the thing that goes under the floor to give it strength. The stronger the subfloor, the more the floor on top of it can hold. If it's a weak subfloor, it's going to bend, and that floor will bend with it. And when you put a heavy object on it, it will fall. The stronger the subfloor, the more strength the floor can hold upon with heaviness of furniture, people, and appliances. A strong subfloor allows us to trust and have faith. The floor will hold our weight. It won't collapse underneath of us. It says faith is the substance. Faith is the substance. Faith is the subfloor underneath our walk with Christ. If you have a weak faith, you will have a weak walk. If you have a weak faith, you're going to have a weak walk because your substance, that subfloor, is weak. Faith is the substance. It is that subfloor in our lives. Our faith in Christ is the subfloor that keeps our hope alive, even when the load is heavy and the weight seems too much to bear. Chapter 11, number 1, the second part. Of things hoped for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Means to wait with confidence and assurance. It means excitement, anticipation. Faith is the substance of we're excited. We're excited what Christ is doing. We're excited how He lives in our lives. How we're excited how He's brought us through storms and put our feet upon a solid rock. We're excited for that. It doesn't mean to be in despair. You think things are going to get better? Well, I don't know. Things might or might not get good. You know, gas is up to $4.50 a gallon. And, man, go to Walmart. There's nothing on the grocery stores anymore. And everybody's fighting with each other. You could get into a doldrums if you look that way. Amen? But, hey, I'm thankful that I do have a home that I can go to. I'm thankful that I do have a car that I can drive. I'm thankful that there is gas available for me. I'm thankful that I've not missed a meal that I know of. Amen? I'm thankful that I've got electricity in my car. I'm thankful that I don't have bombs coming over my head, people invading my home. Amen, amen, and amen. Of things hoped for. And evidence of things not seen. Look at that last part of 11 and 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. As a Christian, faith is our God-given spiritual sixth sense, if you think about it. It's our spiritual sixth sense. I can hear it, but I may not see it. If you go out at night and you listen in the quietness of the night, you go back into the woods, you might hear an owl hooting. I can hear it, but I can't see it. If I'm eating a sandwich and all of a sudden I taste the sweet, the sour, the ghost flavoring, I'm not going to see it, but I can taste it. That's a sense. If you walk into a room, you might smell colognes, you might smell perfumes, you might even smell of a candle that was lit previously. I don't see those things, but I can smell it through my third sense. We're here tonight and I see the light bulbs and the chandeliers. I see the lights out of the can lights. How many of y'all see those rays of light coming down? Who can see the rays of light? I don't think I can. I don't think you can. If you are, you've got some super bionic thing going on. But what we can see is the effect of that light in our auditorium on the sides. You can see the pews are lit up. You see the effect of that light. through sight. We might not be able to see wind, but I can see the effects of the wind through the windmill, through a young boy and a young girl holding a kite on a string, and you see it blowing up in the sky. Sometimes on a Saturday, for some reason why, I look over Sharps Creek and I always see this big balloon, a hot air balloon coming over the lake there, Sharps Creek Lake, and it'll kind of scoot over to the side and come back. I can't see the hot air going up into the balloon, but I can see the effects of that hot air going into the balloon. We might not see the individual thing, but we see the effects of it. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." If you can see something, then that's not faith, is it? It's when you can't see something that when faith interjects. Amen? It'd be easy to have faith if you could see it. But it's faith when you can't see what's going to happen. That's true faith. I saw a video this week. Y'all might have seen it. There's been a lot of coverage on the war in Ukraine. Everything that's going on there. We've all seen the atrocities of the war in Ukraine. As of right now, 2 million people have left their homes, the comfort of their homes, for destinations into both Poland and all those countries to the west. But there was one video that caught my eye. It was a Ukrainian church video. Y'all might have seen it. It was inside of one of the homes in the basements. And it had the Ukrainian people singing during their church service. "He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so, He will hold me fast. When I fear my faith will fail, when the tempter would prevail, He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast." You can't see the word faith, but you can see the evidence of faith in their lives. You can't see the faith, but you can see the evidence of their faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Let me close. David, we'll hold off on that song for now. How many of y'all know what this is? Can y'all see it back? Remote control of my TV. This is a remote control of my TV at the house. Long day in Atlanta. About wore out, driving back, takes me about an hour and 20 minutes, hour and a half, depending on Six Flags Hill, might take me an hour and 45 minutes to get home. Get to the house, Karen's there, almost all the time, dinner's ready, I'll get into my recliner, lay back a little bit, she'll have dinner, she'll bring it to the TV stand, pull out Man's Best Friend, your remote control, pop, pop. The more I grow in my faith, the more I learn to trust. The more you can train yourself, the more I can train myself to have faith in those things that I cannot see. It's exactly how my little remote control works. You know, I don't know how it works. Some of y'all much smarter than I am. All I know is I sit back in the recliner, hit the power button, boom, and there's Fox, or there's Glenn Burns, or those one of those other guys on WSB. I pop it. And that's how that works. I don't know how it works, but I know it works. I just mash the power button, it goes. Why? Why do I know it works when I sit back in that, Brother Mark, when I sit back in that chair and hit it? Why do I know it works? Because it's worked time after time after time after time after time after time. Tired, wore out, get back in the recliner, hit it. Turn on TV, and it works because it has been repetitiously working every time I come home. But I don't know how it works. I know if the electricity's running, I can trust what's going on behind the scenes. When I hit it, I know that I can trust what's going on behind the scenes. TV's plugged in, check. Battery's working the remote, check. Have the right remote in my hand. Check. Pay our electricity bill. We have power. Lights are on. Check. Mash the button. Voila. There's happiness in the hack house. But I've learned over time that the key to increasing my faith is to trust that which I cannot see. It's having faith to trust that which I cannot see. That's what faith is. It's the evidence of things unseen. Faith is the substance, that subfloor. Faith is the substance of all things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. I know it works. I know it works. I know it works because I've used it over and over and over again. There's things going on behind the scenes, brother, that go on that I'm not aware of, and I don't know how it works, but I know it works. And you know what, Brother David? I'm going to keep using it. Why? Because I know it works. Amen? If you're going through a tough time, you got fear. But you have faith from previous times. You know it works. Keep going to that power source. Oh my.